Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Richard, today we're going to talk about myths associated with brain-sidedness. I don't know what the right word is for that.
Hemispheric specialization.
Right. Lateralization.
Lateralization.
Now, the so is it true that a person could be left-brained or right-brained? That's the myth that we're talking about today. Because hemispheric lateralization does happen. To some extent, we have certain tasks. We know that the right hemisphere of the brain, for the most part, controls the left side of the body. We know that the left side of the brain generally controls the right side of the body. So there are some skills and some tasks that are lateralized. We know that Broca's area and Wernicke's area are on the left side, generally speaking, for most people, especially most right-handed people. Mm-hmm. But there are some limits to that lateralization.
That's right. And again, this is one of those urban legends that over time people somehow came to believe that the right hemisphere and the left hemisphere are different and perform different tasks. Mm-hmm. In a very general sense, it's a little bit true. In what is that thing called? Politifact? Mm-hmm. We would say slightly true. Mm-hmm. If you look at the left and right hemispheres, geographically, they're a little bit different.
Right.
The left hemisphere and the right hemisphere don't match exactly.
Right.
The fissures and the folds and the sizes of different structures do differ from the right and the left.
Right. There's a bit of asymmetry.
And there is supposed to be asymmetry.
Right. So the left's, again, for right-handed people, the left hemisphere is supposed to be just a smidge bigger than the right hemisphere.
Especially in the posterior.
Right.
Left posterior. And conversely, mm-hmm. the right anterior should be a little bit bigger.
Right.
In most right-handed people.
Right.
So there are a few structural differences, geographic differences, in what the two hemispheres look like. Mm-hmm. We also know that the hemispheres are not joined together,
right,
except by this band of fibers mm-hmm. called the corpus callosum.
Right.
Okay, but otherwise they function independently, but in conjunction with each other.
Right.
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 So they functionally, it's like one brain.
Right.
Structurally, yes, they're divided in two.
Right. Yeah, because there's this, and the corpus callosum is a fascinating region. If you look at those sort of classic pictures, I'm kind of looking at one because we have one on the wall here.
Oh, that's right.
Of a brain, and you see this, thick band that sort of makes mm-hmm. a little arc like that right in the middle. Mm-hmm. That's the corpus callosum, and it is a really dense area that connects the left and right hemisphere.
Right.
In certain conditions, a really severe, non-responsive epilepsy, for example, they will do what they call a...
commiserotomy.
Right, commiserotomy, where they go in and they cut the corpus callosum so that the two hemispheres are then independent.
Because if the seizure would cross from one hemisphere to the other, and it would use the corpus callosum mm-hmm. to get to the other side of the brain, causing a full brain seizure rather than a localized seizure.
Right. And so then we study those people where that had to happen, mm-hmm. and we call that split brain.
Right.
That's a fascinating, fascinating situation.
Right.
Because literally, in some of those circumstances, the right hand will be doing one thing. That whole thing, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing.
True.
It's true in those individuals where the corpus callosum has been severed.
Right. But you can't judge an intact brain mm-hmm. solely on what a non-intact brain is capable of doing.
Right.
Because once you sever the corpus callosum, you've created two mm-hmm. brains.
Right.
if the corpus callosum is intact, mm-hmm. you have two hemispheres cooperating with each other,
right.
working together.
Right.
Two very different pictures.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you can't judge based on commiserativity patients.
Right. Right.
I think I got that right. Seems like I have an extra syllable in there.
But so they say that there are what we, again, in popular culture, we talk about left brain people and right brain people. And we talk about left brain people being more logical and more mm-hmm. analytical, and that right hemisphere people are more creative and free thinkers and all of this. And it doesn't,
no,
there's not really any evidence, neuroscience mm-hmm. evidence, to support that mm-hmm. at all.
No, there isn't. This is one of the myths. We talked about the 10% myth. We've talked about other myths. This is another one of those myths that took hold, mm-hmm. and we just can't seem to move beyond it. Mm-hmm. People still talk about being left-brained or right-brained. That is not how the brain works. The two hemispheres work together, and while there are small differences, for example, we know that most of the speech mechanisms, we think, the speech mechanisms are in the left hemisphere.
For okay. most right-handed individuals.
That's right. But we do have those same structures on the right, in the right hemisphere.
Right.
It's not as big, mm-hmm. but we have Broca's area in both hemispheres.
Right.
It's just that the left seems to be dominant for that.
Mm-hmm.
The right hemisphere, however, is involved in language, especially in perceiving somebody else's tone of voice
mm-hmm.
and producing your own tone of voice. When
right.
you want to emphasize something and you want to increase the emotional value, it's probably the right hemisphere
right.
that controls that. So it's, again, it's two hemispheres working together.
Right.
Okay? You're not left or right. You're not most, another example is music. People mm-hmm. say, well, music is in the right hemisphere. It might be for beginners, but in expert musicians, most of the activities in the left hemisphere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So once you move from novice to expert, there seems to be this right to left shift.
Right.
So it's not that there are specific tasks that are localized. It's that different functions are performed in different places.
Right.
And it might be, as with music and probably reading, the right hemisphere dominates in the beginning, but gradually the left hemisphere takes over for some reason.
Right. Yeah. Alan Kaufman talked
right.
about this a lot when he, you know, his model of cognitive skills, intelligence,
ability,
was
right.
Sequential versus simultaneous.
Right. Which,
and mm-hmm. one of the things that you're talking about is that, you know, when you're a novice, when you're just learning, mm-hmm. when you're just learning to drive,
right.
you have to think about every piece individually.
Right.
And so that is going to be more dominant, more
right.
localized perhaps in the right mm-hmm. hemisphere just mm-hmm. because of the sequential nature and the or the simultaneous nature
right.
of trying to take all these pieces
That's
and
right.
put them together.
Right.
Once you've mastered that, then it becomes more generalized because
right.
now you can do, you know, all of these things are flowing at the same time.
Right.
We talked in yesterday's podcast when I drove that right-handed car.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, it shifted to where there were different regions of my brain that were having had to be, you know, employed
right.
to manage that because it was all new,
right.
just a new orientation, new. Mm-hmm. You know, doing different things with different hands and everything
right.
than what I'm accustomed to.
Right.
So as things become more automatic, different regions of your
shift.
Brain
right.
Can be recruited, and you're going to use
right.
more to the left side.
Yeah, and Alan Kaufman is a good example
mm-hmm.
Because he, you know, based on, I think that was Luria who first
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
posited that the left hemisphere seems to be better at sequential things.
Right.
Well, language is a sequential function.
Mm-hmm,
it's
mm-hmm.
not that the left side of the brain is better at verbal tasks.
Mm-hmm.
It's better at sequential tasks. But because language is a sequential task, we speak in a series of words and we listen in a series of words. Because it's a sequential task, it's mediated largely by the left hemisphere.
Right.
Not because it's verbal, but because
right.
it's sequential.
Right. And an interesting idea behind some of this stuff is that
mm-hmm.
part of where these different skills are going to be localized in your brain, whether it's left side or right side, is going to be dependent upon when you learn them in your stages of development. You know, as you grow, because the hemispheres are generally independent, you know, you'll have times when the right hemisphere is growing a little bit more than the left hemisphere. Right. And if during that time you learn particular skills, they're going to be more likely to localize in the right hemisphere than in the left hemisphere. And it just so happens that, again, for most right-handed people, some of the language things that we learn are at around the time when these regions of the left hemisphere are growing and getting stronger. And that's why we see, perhaps, this is sort of theoretical, I suppose, when you see some kids who, you know, at, you know, they're up and walking and running and become, you know, very coordinate, physically coordinated and strong and just navigate their environment very, very well at very young ages, but they're not talking.
Right.
You know, that region, the regions of their brain that help with motor skills and orientation are developing during that time.
Right.
But the language areas, the areas that are going to eventually be language areas aren't. And then you have the other way around. You have those kids who are, you know, talking in 2 and 3 word sentences at one, but they're, you know, just barely starting to walk.
Right.
And because the language areas are starting to really develop during that time. So we have some of that type of localization, but there's not a, there's not the idea or the actuality of, you know, well, I'm just a left-brained person.
No.
You know, I just think this way, or I just think that way. That doesn't really happen. We, you know, most of that is going to come from personality and you know, from rooted in temperament and that kind of stuff. It's not so much because of the brain itself.
That's right.
If that makes sense. Works.
Yeah. And this article, we're going to post this article, right? And if you scroll down, you get to the bottom, toward the bottom, well, let's see, up a little bit. Yeah, these functions. Under one section, it says functions and characteristics. And it lists some differences that we do know about. But they're rather minor. You know, there's one for emotion, for example, that emotions... the right brain, the right side of the brain seems to dominate, and it's mostly in the expression and the recognition of emotions.
Right.
Okay. We talked about language, but even sign language, which is a motor activity, is in the left hemisphere because it's a sequential activity.
Right.
Okay. So if at the bottom of that article, they have some nice sort of generalizations, but you can see from reading those that. We're really not strongly dominant, and this whole idea of right brain and left brain needs to be dispelled. That's another one of those myths that we need to stop thinking about. You're not right brain or left brain, and while it's these are metaphors, they're simple ways of explaining a very complex organ, but they're not truthful ways. They're simple ways. They're just not truthful ways, or they're partly truthful, but don't overgeneralize. Don't think that because there are these minor differences that somehow the hemispheres do different things or are localized for different things.
Right.
You're always using all your brain.
Right. And also, just a take home is that, you know, if you feel as though you're more analytical or that you are more creative, and so you are think that you are left brain versus right brain, know that that's adjustable, malleable. You're not right-brained or left-brained. You're your whole brain, and you can develop some of those creativity skills or create some of those analytical skills. It takes practice and it takes some effort. And, you know, again, as I said before, a lot of that is rooted in our personality as opposed to our neurology.
Yeah, it's more our temperament than our biology.
Right.
I think that, you know, I prefer doing things a certain way. We have no idea why you have that preference.
Right.
It's not brain. I don't think it's brain based. There's no evidence that we have to say that it's brain based. It's like, you know, I prefer learning. People say, well, I have to see something to learn it. No, you have to see some things to learn them.
Right.
You don't have to see everything to learn it.
Right.
It's just that's the way brains work. They're mysterious. It's a mysterious organ. We don't understand it fully. Mm-hmm. But we know that, you know, if you feel that you learn better by reading something, go ahead and read it. But what we do know from brain science is that the more times you approach something and the more different ways you approach it, mm-hmm. see it, hear it, touch it, talk about it, teach right. it, the more times you approach something, the greater the likelihood is that you'll master it.
Right.
But you master it with practice. But we don't really know. There's hundreds of right brain, left brain tests out there.
Right.
We really don't know this. We really don't know how we're learning things.
Right.
You know, it's like chewing your teeth. You can't do it.
That's so. True. All right. But we'll talk about more about learning styles
more
later
about
this week.
Learning styles later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
But let's get rid of left brain, right brain.
That's right. All right. That's it for today then. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We'd be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning.